Jesus. He's the only one that is worth living for. Outside him is no life, because he is life itself. Bless God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you because you are the friend we can trust. That is why we have come into your presence, O God. We say, O Lord, give us a heart of worship in Jesus' name. Our Father and our God, touch our lives, O God, in a way that we will know that we have come to fellowship with you. My Lord and my God, change something in somebody's life today in Jesus' name. Lord, take them onto the path of their destiny in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Thank God for that special number. Aha. So we have young people in the house, and they decided to go it alone. Praise God. And you could see the music itself was in keeping with somebody who is young. Praise God. Please, let's. I want to talk to us this morning or this afternoon, because our time is really gone and we're still going to have our Holy Communion. I was going to talk to us about the heart of worship. Quickly open your Bible to the book of John, chapter 4, verse 19 to 24. We won't be long. I will finish the sermon some other day. John, chapter 4. It's just that when you come to the house of God, you cannot go home without hearing the word of God. Otherwise, why are we here? John chapter 4, verse 19 to 24. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus met that woman of Samaria by the well in Samaria, and the woman had it ingrained in her that the place to worship was that mountain in Samaria. And she could not understand why somebody would be talking about Jerusalem as the place to worship God. But Jesus took it a step further and said to her, Neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship, but the time has come that the place of the covenant of God has shifted. The place of the covenant of God has moved. That you think that the Ark of Covenant has moved to somebody's heart in the house this morning. Jesus announced that there was a change. And from the moment that Jesus spoke it, it became the order of the day that the place of worship, the place of true worship, is the heart of men. Announced that people should come and beautify the place where we sit here to worship. And if the place of worship has shifted, it has shifted from an external space to a heart of worship. That is the new place, the Holy of Holies, where God loves to dwell. Jesus made that declaration that day. We know that we are tripartite beings. We are spirits. We have a soul. And we live in a body. Some people, there is a big debate about what is mind,
what is intellect, what is soul. But for the benefit of today's discussion, I will tell you that the mind is the seat of intellect and reasoning. That's why we say, I've made up my mind. In other words, after I've looked at everything, I've concluded. So it's the place of intellect and your reasoning. A lot of times, the Bible uses the mind and interchange it with the heart. And of course, when we talk about the heart, we are talking about a physical organ. That's one way of looking at the heart. The Bible says, the life of the animal is in its blood. In other words, when the heart stops pumping, the life ends. That's why when somebody's heart stops, it's an emergency. We have to do something about it. So if you look at it spiritually, your heart is the place of orchestration of your relationship with the heart, with the Lord. Even when you look at a physical level, I went to a talk not long ago, a while ago, it was in Fremantle here. And it was on different topics in psychiatry, and there was this presentation of somebody who had a heart transplant. This person had a heart transplant. They never played music in their lives. And after they had a heart transplant, and they were given the heart of somebody who played music very well, this guy acquired the ability to play music. I think I've shared it before. It was in one of these scientific papers. One of the mysteries. And when I heard it, I said, God. So when the Bible talks about the heart, it's a powerful place. We know that the brain controls everything. But that was the experience. And people have had experiences of similar nature. And of course, when we talk about heart, sometimes we talk about the heart in spiritual sense. That's why the Bible says, guide your heart with all diligence, because out of it proceed the issues of life. In other words, the kind of issues that preoccupies your heart, they are so important. The Bible also says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So the heart must be so important. We can look at the heart in the emotional sense of it. That is what we talk about often when we say, look, I use my heart, not my brain. Why the heart? Things in the heart are mixed up with passion. Things that come from the heart, they are mixed up with what? With passion. Without passion, the spirit may be willing, but the body will be weak. That is why a lot of times we know what is important, we cannot do it. Because those things don't get mixed with passion in our hearts. You will notice that. Let me give you an example of things that change once there is passion to it, once the heart comes into it. I've seen a lot of people, and I've given this example before, a lot of people who go to the doctor, and the doctor say, quit smoking. And they will tell you, I've been smoking for the last 20 years, 30 years. I cannot just stop like that. They will try to reduce it, and then they relapse into smoking again. But let me tell you something. They go to the doctor one day, and the doctor says, look, the x-ray you did yesterday, I can see a shadow there. It looks like cancer of the lungs. What do you think will happen? That day, the guy will stop smoking. Because there's passion, there's fear. From the heart, he will stop smoking immediately. You ask this person, say, look, I never do this. And then once you touch the place of their heart, suddenly, that's where they say, he just touched my heart. So which means what we do as we serve the Lord, if we don't have passion for serving the Lord, we will just be religious people. We will come to church and go and operate with God at the level of the head knowledge. Let me tell you why it is probably not very good to operate in the head knowledge. I will tell you soon. The other thing about the heart is this. I will still go to head knowledge. Things processed and accepted or rejected find lodgment in your heart. In other words, when you have dealt with something and you have reached a conclusion and you have attached your passion to it, that's what finds lodgment in your heart. The implication of this is that you become more spontaneous in your response. So as children of God, we should be people who readily serve the Lord spontaneously. We must not be people who want to go and think about whether we should praise God or not. Some children of God get assignment to serve God. They say, look, let me go and pray about it. There are some things that you should readily just accept. When God spoke to the apostles, he said, set aside for me Paul and Barnabas. Of course, the apostles had prayed. They didn't say, let me go and pray about it. Somebody says, it is not just our actions that are important. They say, our reaction may even be more important. Because actions we can plan. You plan what you want to do. But your reaction you don't often plan. Because there are surprises. And the reaction tend to tell us the state of your heart. Because the state of your heart will be the first thing that comes out of you. Will be the first thing that you will do. When you are in a surprise situation. The other thing about the materials is that materials from the heart are deeper, uncensored, and more authentic. Remember this morning at the Sunday school, I told you about what I call defense mechanism, the kind of changes that comes, you know, that we will have processed it in our brain. In fact, science said that who you are going to be or who you are being from the age of 4. What a child will be, they are usually who they are going to be from the age of what? 4. And they say the rest of it we spend learning how to lie. What do I mean? We learn to develop our frontal lobe. And you know, the frontal lobe is the brake. It's the one that says stop. Instead of telling this person the truth, you just find a nice way to evade it. So by the time you are 4, look at your children, what they are doing. By the time they are 4, the underlying personality is there. The other ones is that they are just learning from experience to modify how they present themselves to the world. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. Uh-huh. You are getting some psychological knowledge for free. Praise God. So materials from the heart, they are uncensored. So they are more authentic. No wonder God wants, you know. So when you are speaking from your brain, you feel like slapping somebody. You feel like saying you are a fool, but you don't say you are a fool. Your brain will just say, don't say that. But when you are reacting from your heart, you find out before you know what is happening, you said it. No wonder God will always want us to worship him from our hearts. Because it will be the genuine worship that God wants. The heart reflects devotion and trust. They say, he stole my heart. She stole my heart. It reflects devotion. It reflects trust. You don't tell people the things in your heart if you don't trust them. You tell people the things in your brain. Am I right? Only people you trust, you tell the things from your heart. You tell them things in your brain. Because you think that's what they want to hear. Right?
or you don't want them to be upset with you. You don't want to lose face with them. You don't want to upset, you know, you don't want to quarrel. So you just tell them something from here. You don't tell them from here. But God wants us to worship him from here, spontaneity. So when you come, when you want to praise and worship God, and you are debating within yourself whether you should dance or not, you are not worshiping him from your heart. I was with the choir yesterday, and in part of their training, they were talking about how King David danced with careless abandon. And he said he will make a fool of himself. I'm paraphrasing it. He said, I will even make a fool of myself because the Lord has set me above the house of your father. He said, God saw the house of your father there before he made me king. He said, so I'm even more ready to make a fool of myself. That was how far David went. You were told yesterday. If you have to debate it whether you should dance or sing to the Lord, then there's something wrong. It means you are not worshiping from the heart. If you are worshiping from the heart, there should be spontaneity. Now, let me tell you something. There was this man of God. He went to a church where, you know, people never sang, people never dance. Everybody will come in and they are quiet. And the day he read from the Acts of the Apostles, how the apostles lifted up their voices. It's not one person who are worshiping God. Everyone lifted up their voices. When everyone lifts up their voices, what do you think will happen? There will be noise. There will be commotion in the house. That was the way the apostles would worship in those days. What is gone with our worship life? Psychedelic worship. Praise the Lord. And of course, when it's coming from the heart, it signifies purity. Because the Bible says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made unto what? Unto salvation. Somebody will start to worship with their heart from today in Jesus' name. Hence, your true worship, if you truly worship from the heart and practice, you know, if you truly worship from your heart, then you are worshiping God. And if you are using your intellect, it becomes religion. Because you are so sensitive, careful. You are doing it for effect. That intellect is our big battleground. It's a place of contention between our flesh and God. When they say, let's spend our time for God, is that place of your intellect? Okay, let me see. You know, how much? If I go to that job, you know, they pay 1.5 times. They pay twice. 2 times the normal amount, normal rate. You know, you begin to calculate. That's the level of your intellect. And do you notice something? Do you notice something about the things of God? You come to church like this. You hear the word of God. Your heart receives it. What do you think happens? Immediately you want to change. That's the position of the heart. You just want to change. And then the moment you leave it and you walk out of that place, your intellect takes over. You say, okay, you can actually wait. You see, at the end of school time, when the kids are finished, then you start postponing it and it will never happen again. Is somebody responding with their heart this morning? Praise the Lord. When they say, give to the things of God. So yes, I'm going to give. I will start giving my tithes and my offering. Yes, that's your heart responding. And then you move out of that place. You just say, oh yeah, Western power. Praise the Lord. You begin to calculate your intellect. That's the battleground. Somebody is submitting to God today in Jesus' name. So how then do we transfer our worship to our heart? I'll just quickly say this, and then we'll close. How do we transfer our worship to the heart? 2 things we're going to do. In order to transfer your worship from your intellect to your heart, you need to worship God repeatedly. You make it a way of life. That is why the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
It has to be a way of life that repeatedly you are praying, you are reading the word. I will give you some life examples that transfer things from your head to your heart. How many of us have driven before Mandra? And you took off from Perth, you got to Mandra, and you actually wonder how you got to Mandra. You cannot remember seeing the things that are on the way. Has it happened to you before? Not paying attention to the name. It's happened to me. In fact, one day, I took the bus from Perth, coming back home. And I started looking around. Some of the buildings I was seeing along that Canning Highway, they look strange to me. Because all the while, when I was driving, I never had time for them. Okay, that's one. I've seen people who are beginning to develop dementia, and they would drive from their house to their destination. When it is time to break, they break. When it is time to move, they move. What do you think is happening? Out of practice, you now drive without having to think. How many of us think before we drive? When you are learning to drive, you to drive. Praise the Lord. In Revelation chapter 2 verse 7, the Bible says, let him keep hearing. You are listening to your CD and you keep hearing. At home, you are playing the same thing, keep hearing. You come to church, you are doing the same thing, keep hearing. You get home, you are reading your Bible, keep hearing. Then you transfer it to your heart. Second thing, do it. He says, just do it. Do it. Remember, I told you, if you give your intellect the chance, it will reason itself out of the will of God. You will not reason yourself out of the will of God for your life in Jesus' name. It will reason itself out of the will of God for your life. That is why when you hear the word, just do it. First John chapter 3 verse 7 says, children, be not deceived. He that doeth righteousness is what? Is righteous. So in other words, when you hear the word of God, just do what? Just do it. There and then, don't give yourself that opportunity to have a think about whether you should do what is right. Because in that debate, do you know how many times you have lost? Every time you engage your intellect with the things of God, you end up losing out. But when you engage your heart, you are in the right course, you are on the right course to succeed. So you have to act immediately. Act immediately to forgive someone. I told you about a woman who heard about forgiveness in her church. When she left church, she didn't even go home. She traveled 75 kilometers to quickly go to that person to settle. Otherwise, by the time you get home, before you drive home, do you know what's going to happen? Your intellect will have told you, do you remember she was the first person to abuse you? In fact, what about all the insults she has skipped on you? You will have risen yourself out of obedience to God. Visit or call someone because you care. Let it be spontaneous. Start your prayer life today. As you get into your car, as you leave the church and you get into your car, do what? Start your prayer life. Don't wait until you get home. Don't wait until your pillow is aligned in one way and your bed is angled in a particular direction. No. Start praying from the church as you start going. If you know that there's a particular company that brings down your spiritual life, make amend from today by deciding in the church that will not be your friend anymore from today. that person will not be your friend anymore, because you are never edified when you are in that company. Do you know the reason a lot of people keep going back to their drug taking habit or drinking is because of who their friends are? The reason a lot of people find themselves, you know, speaking condemnation to other people is because of who their friends are. The Lord will deliver somebody today in Jesus' name. In fact, you can choose to change things around in your life. If you have materials that you know do not glorify God in your life, some of us have different kind of materials that we use. It could even be clothing, anything you know is not glorifying God. If you make up your mind, say, when I get home, I'm doing away with it. Don't think twice. Minister Christ to that brother or that sister today. Don't wait. What will happen if they get taken away today? What will you say to yourself? And then, of course, start searching for information about that thing. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Whatever is of virtue, whatever is goodly, whatever is, you know, is of good report, begin to search for information about it, because that is how you... I've met a lot of people who say, I don't have interest. The reason people don't have interest is because they are ignorant about that thing. You find out that the moment you start to read about something and finding about, you begin to develop interest. You'll be so surprised what that thing can do. Particularly when you read your Bible, just go into the Bible. If you have a chain reference Bible, you take one thing like this and you look at it, and you go and look at where it occurs again. And by the time you finish reading, you will have known so much about that particular topic. And when you open your mouth to speak, God will anoint your lips, because you have sown into it. You have invested into it. I told us last week why we need to be investing in the things of God. We say we are children of God. We don't buy Christian books. We don't buy Christian, you know, CDs, DVDs. We'll buy the other ones though. But we won't buy the ones that, you know, that will help to develop us. Remember, I said repetition. You will need to repeat it. You need to hear it over and over again. And then, of course, study those who have done it successfully. Study those who have done it what? Successfully. If you see somebody who has done what you are about to do successfully, even the things of God, you know, Paul was talking about following his own examples. That's how you develop a heart of worship. Don't give yourself that opportunity. There's a lot more we want to talk about, but because of time, can we just bring the elements? Can we just bring the element, please? What's going to happen is this. As we start to take the bread and drink the wine, we are going to have the choir. We exalt you and we magnify you as God. We acknowledge, O God, that with you nothing shall be impossible. You are the God of all flesh. We bow before your presence this afternoon, O God. Lord, have your way in every life in Jesus' name. Lord, we no longer seek to worship you in any other way. We worship you with our hearts bowed before you. We worship you with our hearts rent before you. We worship you, O Lord, in humility, O God. We say, Father, have your way in your church in Jesus' name. We are a people who recognize the authority of the Almighty God, who can do all things in our lives. Lord, as we come under this authority this afternoon, O God,
We are that sense will follow us in Jesus' name. We are that your goodness will follow us in Jesus' name. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. Lift us up in Jesus' name. I say lift up our heads in Jesus' name. Every head bow before you, O God. Begin to lift them up in Jesus' name. Every head that is bowed before the Lord, you are lifted up in Jesus' name. Every heart that is bowed before the Lord, you are lifted up in Jesus' name. Every personality that is bowed before the Lord, you are receiving a lifting up in Jesus' name. The glory of the Lord is upon you. Arise and shine. Arise and shine. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's share the grace in fellowship. May the grace